Let us turn to the psalm which we sung, Psalm 1, and as the Lord may be pleased to help us, let us consider verse 6. Psalm 1 and at verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now that follows on from what is said in the previous verse, that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And how can there be that separation? How can there be no mixing, say, on the day of judgment, but on the day when sinners pass as to their souls into eternity? How can there be that distinction on the part of God? Well, we are told, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. That's why. He knows who can be described as righteous. He knows how they can be distinguished. He distinguishes those who are righteous from those who are ungodly. The way that the righteous on is the way that he has appointed himself. He knows that way, and there may be a suggestion there of love. The Lord not only recognizing the way of the righteous, not just that he has appointed that way, but that he has a love to that way. That the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now that's serious. And we have to discern. That's part of our responsibility before God, to discern. Are we on the way of the righteous? Or are we on the way of the ungodly? And if we're on the way of the ungodly, we're going to perish. Now that's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is speaking. He has been speaking to us as long as we have been under the Word and were sufficiently developed mentally to understand what was being said in any degree whatever. See, the Lord has been speaking. And in some ways, sometimes, he speaks in a more powerful way. Sometimes, the Lord leaves people just to go their own way and to think their own thoughts. He leaves them to, let us say, come into the place of worship, to sit there, perhaps to think their own thoughts, and then to go away again. But there are times when God, will we say, really speaks. When he speaks into your mind. When he makes you feel the authority, his authority, so that you know that there is truth in what is being said. You cannot avoid. And the Lord speaks, perhaps he speaks to everybody at times who come under the Word. And there are times when in his providence he speaks. When he speaks through death, the death of a friend, the death of a neighbour, the death of a loved one, a father or a mother, or just somebody you hear about or see about, and you have to ask yourself, where would I be if that had been me? If I had died, if I was the one that died, where would I be? Could I possibly say that I would be in heaven? Or you become very ill, or you're in an accident, or you've experienced a near miss. If that had just been an inch closer, what would have happened? Oh, let us be asking ourselves, am I ready to die? Am I prepared for eternity? Am I on the way of the righteous or on the way of the ungodly? Well, let us try to examine this verse before us. And let us bear in mind that God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking to each one of us here today. He is saying that he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. First of all, let us try and distinguish between the righteous and the ungodly. And then secondly, that God knows the way of the righteous. And thirdly, the way of the ungodly shall perish. First, to make some distinction between the righteous and the ungodly, and then successively to notice these two parts of the verse. First then, the righteous as contrasted with the ungodly. And where are we? Where are you? Let me ask myself. Are we in any sense righteous? And the only alternative is to be ungodly. Where are you? Especially with this in view, where our way will lead. Now, it's not just eternity and the awfulness of a lost eternity and the blessedness of heaven. But it's this. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He is pleased with the way of the righteous. It's not just that the ungodly are going to perish. It's that the Lord is displeased with the way of the ungodly. Think of that. No doubt we are all sinning continually. But you see, as far as the sins of the godly are concerned, the Lord looks upon them in Christ. And it's not just that, though that's important, terribly important. But there's this, that the godly, the righteous, are seeking godliness. They're seeking to do what is right. They're seeking to follow in the ways of new obedience. And what we have to bear in mind is, as we had it in Romans 3, that there is none righteous. That's what we read. And that's the Apostle Paul speaking about how we all are by nature, how he was himself. There is none righteous. No, not one. See the emphasis. It's not something we ought to have passed through our ears and then it's forgotten. He would hold us, you see, as if he would grab out clothes to hold us back, as if when we've heard that it's none righteous, that we would go away and say something like, that's what I'll listen to some other time. I'm bound to hear that again. No, says Paul, as it were, I would grasp you. I'm going to keep you for another few minutes. I'm going to emphasize the matter. No, not one. Let no one deceive themselves into thinking that all is well, unless you've had a change of heart. There is none righteous. No one is righteous. No one is on the way that leads to heaven. No one is pleasing God. Now think of it. We need a change of heart. We need a change of life. We need a complete change. We need to be turned inside out, as it were. We need to be born again. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Is he finished? No. Though I'm not going to pursue it any further than just to notice this, that he's saying it again. No, not one. There is none that's pleasing God. No, not one. Nobody. That's the thing. Nobody. Not one of us. Oh, when you're not taken to heart as before God, remember there is a salvation, a suitable salvation. And the Lord is able to change your heart. Oh, that you would cry it before it is too late. Before you take another step down the way of the ungod, in a way that is displeasing to God. Yes. I say, I was observing those who were saying, come and let us fill our... And we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Now, whatever sin it is, whether it's strong drink or an addiction to soap operas or anything of that nature, anything that would distract us from our need of salvation, with the assumption that everything is going to go on indefinitely. Tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. What does it matter that we would spend another day in sin? What would it matter that we would spend another day in forgetfulness of God? What does it matter? Yes, it matters. God is displeased. God sees it. Yes. Oh, will you not seek the Lord while he may be found? But what I'm at, you see, I'm at many a thing, perhaps you would say. But what I'm particularly commenting on just now is that this way of thinking, the way that the ungodly think, you see, it's an ungodly thought. Tomorrow shall be this as this day and much more abundant. Tomorrow will also be a time for living without God. Tomorrow will also be a time. That's the thought. That's the ungodliness of the thought. Another day of living without God. But there will be a tomorrow. Perhaps totally unexpected, when sinners, they will find that their way has come to an end. They're at their destination, and their destination is hell. Their destination is hell. And that could be tomorrow. It might even be that you will have no tomorrow. And yet what you have is an opportunity to obtain mercy in God. Where's Christ? Where is Christ as far as we are concerned? Have we a desire to find Christ, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness? That was Paul. Yes, and many another since then. You see, these scripture characters, like Paul who wrote so many epistles, like David who wrote so many psalms, and others who were just quoted. Why are these things put down in scripture? David's desire. David's godly desire that he might draw near to God. Why are they kept in scripture? Why were they written down in the first place? Well, one main reason is so that people in later generations might use them themselves. So that people in later generations might use them. That's it. People like yourself. That people would be helped to see whether they are Christ's or not, whether they are on the way of the righteous or on the way of the ungodly. That was what Paul was saying. I want to be found in Christ. Are you saying that? Or are you saying something like this? Well, sometimes. There's things that people say. In ordinary conversation, things that people say. And one thing you know is this. It's never going to happen. Some say, you must come to my house sometime. But I'll have to ask you to my house sometime. And particularly perhaps from the tone of their voice, you can tell that it's not likely to happen. You can be wrong, of course. But you see, there's people that think, there's things that people say in relation to God, and you know that it's not going to happen. It's as unlikely tomorrow as today. It's as unlikely that will happen in a year's time as today. I'll have to seek salvation. I'll have to be converted. I'll have to give up sin. I'll have to give up this particular sin. And if they meant it, they would do it right away. That's the thing. But you see, there's Paul, and he has that desire. And why are there so many who don't have Paul's desire? Well, they're described in Isaiah 53. They find Christ to be as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now that's ungodly. Don't want Christ. Don't desire him. Don't desire to be holy. That's an ungodly thought. And may the Lord have mercy on us and change us if that is where we are. But there's the blessedness of the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I'm not going to go through all the descriptions. But you see, I was speaking about those who say many a thing. And they don't mean it. I was speaking about those who have ungodly ways of thinking. But there's the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not in the way of the ungodly. Why? Because he's got another way of thinking. Not the ungodly way of thinking. But he would wish to be found in Christ. Perhaps his understanding is very weak. But let us seek to be clear about where we stand for eternity and about where we stand in relation to God now. Let us seek to be clear. And not to be complacent, either about where we are spiritually or about finding salvation. May the Lord make us earnest. May the Lord put earnestness in our souls. Yes. And there's this, in his law, in God's law, doth he meditate day and night. It's a welcome thought, more or less, to be thinking about the truth and certain. If the truth comes with power to the soul, how welcome. If the truth is applying to your own soul, then you would want to meditate in it day and night. Yes. There was Abel and Cain too, and there was a difference between them. One was on the way of righteousness, and the other was on the way of ungodliness. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And by it he obtained witness that he was righteous. He offered up the right sacrifice, the appointed sacrifice. Now, how does that apply to us today? What's the appointed sacrifice? Oh, that's Christ. It has been offered. We don't need to re-offer it, but what we do need is to avail ourselves of it, to receive the testimony about Christ and his sacrifice by faith. And so he obtained witness that he was righteous, and we are laying hold of Christ by faith, receiving Christ as a Savior suitable to ourselves and our need as sinners. Then, you see, there's something has happened. There's been a change. There's a new nature there that really wants to lay hold of Christ. This is my salvation. Not necessarily saying this has been my salvation, but this is the salvation I want, the one that is received by faith. The one that is based on the sacrifice of Christ. That's the thing, you see. Yes. Or put it this way. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He was a sacrifice. God's righteous servant, his own son, Jesus Christ, in our need. And he bore the iniquity of sinners. And so he is justifying the ungodly who believe in Jesus. That's Romans 3 again. Well, that's very little. But may the Lord be blessing it to our souls. The second thing is this. God knows the way of the righteous. And what's the way of the righteous? Well, it's the way of holiness. You've got that in Isaiah 35. An highway shall be there, we are told, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And who will walk in it? Well, the unclean shall not pass over it. They are on the way of ungodliness. But it shall be those, the wayfaring men. They're not here forever, and they know it. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not enter therein. Ah, they may well consider themselves to be fools. But because of the grace of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in their souls, they're not going to wander out of the way. And where is that way going? Well, the Lord knows that way. He has appointed that way. And they will return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. They'll get home at last. They'll get to heaven. There'll be no sorrow then, no sin to disturb them, and none of the consequences of sin to follow them to heaven. Yes, all will be well. The way of the godly. Oh, are we on it? Are we seeking it? You see, Enoch was one that way. He walked with God, just as Abel was on that way. He got to heaven sooner than he expected. The first person to die, we assume. Yes, and he was on the way of godliness, the way of righteousness. He was living a righteous life. He wanted to walk in the way that God had appointed. You see, the path of the justice is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, that's what's objectively true. What we might feel subjectively, that might be another matter. How we feel about ourselves, how, if we are among the righteous. You see, this is what the Lord is seeing. Whatever variation there may be. Yes. Sin might go very far in some of the God. And there's sin still in them. But sin is not in control. And whatever ground sin might recover, it's not going to be permanent. There'll be... these people will be delivered from their faults. They'll be raised up again. Yes. The Lord knows their way. Now we might explore, and I'm not going to take time to do so, but we might explore. The Lord watching over them, keeping them from evil, helping them in their difficulties in providence, working in them by the Holy Spirit to bring them safely on the way. Yes. But what I will say is, they have the promise. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now that's if we were on the way of righteousness, if we've been given a new heart, if we've been enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not perish. The Lord will be with us. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He will not forget his promises. You see, he knows the way, and he knows those who are on the way. Now, it's not just a matter of knowledge in our terms, but there's the matter of love. He looks on as if you were looking out of the window and you saw little ones passing. You just mightn't bother. If you see your own offspring or your grandchildren pass, that would be different. You're pleased to see them. There's love there. You recognize them. Now, the figure is different, but we're told the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And that the implication there is, he loves them. And I would feel that it is the same thing here. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the wicked too in that way. But where's the difference? As far as the righteous are concerned, it's here. The Lord loves this way, and he loves those who are on the way. And he will go on loving those who are on this way. What a wonderful thing that is. And the Lord will bring them to glory. He will bring the blind by a way that they know not. He will lead them in paths that they have not known. He will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. He says, these things will I do unto them. And not forsake. He will bring the blind. Those who are not influenced by the thinking of the ungodly, the counsel of the ungodly, that influenced by what the Word of God is saying, that must be their question. That's what they must look to for direction. Yes. And so they will be brought safely along the way. There was Job. And in spite of the fearful severity of his trials, he was able to say, "He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And you would say there was strong faith there. Of course there was. But even though we would just have faith like a grain of mustard seed, still, you see, there's a reality in that faith if we have it. And the Lord will increase it. And the Lord will bring us on if we have that faith. But there's this, you see, the way of the ungodly shall perish. It will be destroyed. Is it faith? Is it reason to put it like this? As might happen in warfare. The sort of things that we've heard so often happening in Iraq. A roadside bomb, the expression is familiar enough, but let us change the figure a little. Think of a tunnel, being, however small, being dug under the road and the bomb placed right under the road. And when the bomb goes off, the road is destroyed. Well, that's what happens as far as the way of the ungodly is concerned. The way it road is destroyed, and sinners go down, down, down to a lost eternity. Oh, see that that will not be the outcome of your life and the way that you are living it. See that that will not be the way your life will end. But see that you will seek the way of salvation, the way in which there is righteousness. Seek the righteousness that Christ gives to sinners. And you might be saying, "There's no sign of that for me." No. There's no sign of a bomb placed in the circumstances that I describe. You see, there's one thing certain in life, and that is death. And we should be preparing for it, as people would prepare for a journey, however small. But a journey from which they're never going to come back. There's lots of things that they would have to see to. Lots of things that they would have to arrange, and we're on a journey from which we will never come back. And the Word of God is saying to us that the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do not let that slip out of your mind. Take it with you. Ponder over it. Pray over it. The way of the ungodly shall perish. And if you have to say, "I'm still on the way of the ungodly," what need for prayer? For what need for crying to the Lord? What need for being attentive to our souls? Will you not become serious about your souls? Of course we need the Lord to bless the word to us, but we have a responsibility. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize just now. Yes, we must be altogether dependent on the Lord and casting ourselves upon him. But oh, there's many a statement in the Word of God that we should be laying hold. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you take that away with you? You've heard it often enough, anyway. Surely you can remember it. And if you can't quite get the various words, look it up in John 3:16. Take it with you. Pray over it. Think over it. Think over it when you're going home. Ask yourself, what's that verse that the minister quoted? Well, he quoted a number of verses. But that special verse I asked you to remember and to meditate. Oh, who knows? The Lord might meet with you in connection with that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, on the one hand, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's how we'll have true knowledge. If we have a right attitude to God and to his ways and to his commands. And then there's this. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if that's what you're doing, oh, what does the Bible say about you? That you're foolish. You're a fool. Now, it's a rather insulting word, is it, to be called a fool? Well, there may be various degrees of meaning in the word, but it's the Lord that is saying that to those that are on the way of ungodliness, whose hearts are not godly, however restrained their outward actions may be. The Lord is speaking. And if the Lord calls you a fool, surely it's time to listen. I mean, if I was to call you a fool, and I hope I wouldn't. I hope I wouldn't insult you. But you see, if the Lord is calling you a fool, surely it's time to stop and consider. Oh, when I said, I hope I wouldn't call you a fool, because when I use that form of the word, it's a bit insulting, and it's intended to be insulting when it's used. If one speaks of somebody as foolish, it doesn't have that particular edged. But, you see, my point holds. If the Lord is calling us fools, and we are fools if we're going on in the way of sin, if we're not seeking the Lord, if we're not in earnest about our soul, we are fools. Yes. Oh, what need to cry to the Lord? If it's a lost eternity that is before us. I could imagine somebody going to the doctor, and perhaps it wouldn't be altogether something that would often happen, at least. But you complain about something, and when you've been thoroughly examined, the conclusion is, that's serious, but it's not something that's going to affect you seriously for 10 years. And you stop and you think, but surely if it's as serious as that, then the sooner something is done about it, the better. Well, illness cannot begin to compare with the state of our souls and the inevitability of a lost eternity if we do not repent and believe the gospel. Surely, even if we knew that we had 10 years left, and we don't, we should still say, if it's as serious as all that, the sooner I am seeking the Lord, the better. The sooner I am seeking the Lord, the better. Yes. Now, there's solemn words in this verse. Many solemn words in the Bible. And we get hardened to them. May we stop and consider them. When Israel was being warned in the book of Leviticus, if you will not for all this, that's the existing judgments, if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. The anger of God, think of that. The anger of God, not the Lord knoweth, the Lord loves the way of the righteous, but the Lord's anger against those on the way of the ungodly, still going on in sin and carelessness. Yes, the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's the Lord taking sinners away in the end to a lost eternity. Oh, be thankful that you are, at least for this moment, still on mercy's ground. Yes, hear what the Lord is saying. It's in Psalm 81. But my people should have hearkened, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. What then? So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. You see, when people are going on in their own thinking, that's judgment. That's people being left to themselves. And consider yourself in a serious position if you can listen to the things that have been said today without, as it were, batting an eyelid. God is speaking. God is speaking solemn. There's encouragement for those who have trusted in the Lord. And yes, in a sense, there's encouragement for those who are still going on in their sins. Encouragement, that is, in a different way. Encouragement to seek the Lord. Take that encouragement. There was Manasseh. You would say he had sinned away all possibility of finding salvation. After all his rejection, all his days rejecting the Lord and his ways, all the idolatry, all the wickedness, all the murder, and in the end, he's taken captive to Babylon, and in his affliction, he sought the Lord. Now, wouldn't it be far better if Manasseh had sought the Lord earlier? Then we would assume that he wouldn't have been taken to Babylon as a prisoner when he was in chains and bound with fetters, set among the thorns. I'm sure that's a figure of speech. And what it suggests is something very, very uncomfortable. But he started to think. No doubt he remembered his godly father, Hezekiah. And he prayed. He sought the Lord, and God heard and brought him again to Jerusalem. But you see, there's this in it. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And you be seeking the Lord. Try and take something of the word with you. From the chapter you read at worship, or the part that you read at worship, and be thinking over it. some thought from the chat. You see, energy is called for. You see what the Saviour said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But strive to get out of this way. Strive with the Lord that he would have mercy upon you. Take up the prayer of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Strive to enter in at the straight gate rather than going on in the way of the ungodly, thinking ungodly thoughts, thinking careless thoughts, and ending in a lost eternity. Look to Christ. He is calling you. There is salvation in none other, but there most certainly is salvation in him. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take each of us under thine own loving care and do us good, do wonderful things. Do not leave us to ourselves, but make us wise, that we'd flee to thee to cover us. For thou art able to bless us. Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. O Lord, remember us thyself, and grant to hear us when we call upon thee. Do thou send thy word with power to our souls. Bless what was spoken in thy name here today, and bless what we read. And may we take something with us, so that we would be seeking, so that we would take thee seriously. Lord, look upon us and bless us, and do us good thyself. Deliver us from every evil way. Lord, send thy word with power. Make us wise, make us sincere. May we flee from the wrath to come. May we lay hold on eternal life. Make us serious about our souls. Make us serious about a lost eternity. Make us serious about the blessedness of heaven. Remember thy children, keep them. Do them good, do us good, all of us. Remember all connected with us. Remember everyone in the congregation. Pardon us all our transgressions. For Jesus' sake, amen.